Latino Americans make up nearly 20% of the U.S. population, and this year are expected to be a critical constituency for both Republicans and Democrats in swing states. And yet, as Judy Woodruff reports, the very idea of Latinos voting as a bloc betrays the diversity of history, culture, and perspectives within that community, which may also help strengthen it against the polarization we see in the country more broadly. This report is part of her ongoing series, America at a Crossroads.
This is your parents, your
mom, my dad.
Sylvia Gonzalez-Andersch is a 67-year-old United States Air Force veteran.
We were considered Mexican Americans. That's what everybody, you know, called us.
I'm getting promoted to lieutenant commander.
Raf Polo is a 73-year-old United States Navy veteran.
At home, we spoke Spanish. We drank the Cuban cafecito. Have you ever had that? You just go. When we left the house, when the moment we stepped out, we were Americans.
They both live in Tucson, Arizona. They consider themselves Latino, and they are both politically active. But when it comes to the issues, like undocumented immigration, they simply don't see eye to eye.
How do you view the people who are trying to come into this country without documentation?
They must be pretty desperate to walk thousands of miles to get here and to go through all that agony. But as far as being on the border, I've been down there. I mean, we're 100 miles from Nogales, from the border. We're not getting overrun by millions of immigrants.
That's not how Polo sees it.
I think they need to come in legally. A lot of the folks that are coming through, a lot of them are not good people. The rapists, murderers, and I'm pretty convinced that terrorists are here.
When it comes to former President Trump, who famously launched his campaign by denigrating Mexicans,
they're bringing drugs, they're bringing crime, they're rapists, and some, I assume, are good people.
And has repeatedly disparaged immigrants as he calls for more restrictive policies.
His first comment was that all Mexicans are rapists and murderers. What was I supposed to have open arms? That's not true. My family is nothing like that. And most immigrants are nothing like that. I'm not going to stand by and let them say Mexicans are terrible or, you know, Latinos are terrible. That's not acceptable. That is not American.
You know, I'm from New York, so I grew up with people like Donald, so it doesn't bother me.
And you think he'd be a good president again?
I think he'd be outstanding.
That division reflects one playing out across the country. And while Latinos have long been a key constituency of the Democrats, recent polling shows that the gap between the parties is tightening, with 44% of registered Latino voters favoring Donald Trump and 52% supporting Joe Biden.
The Latino community is so diverse, and we want to look at every group really based on their country of origin more than anything else.
Samara Klar is a professor at the School of Government and Public Policy at the University of Arizona. She tells us these differences of opinion should not come as a surprise.
So, you know, to say how do Cubans compare with Mexicans is almost saying, like, how do Canadians compare with Japanese immigrants? I mean, these are two completely different countries, people who come here at different times under different circumstances.
She studies how an individual's personal identities and social surroundings influence their political attitudes and behaviors, and says because of common experiences among Latinos, she sees less partisan hostility.
So for white Democrats and white Republicans, there's not a lot that really bonds them. For Latino Democrats and Latino Republicans, we see linguistic ties, we see religious ties, we see experiences with discrimination, we see experiences as a minority or as an immigrant.
So as you think about Latinos as a voting bloc, what should we think about it?
Well, first, I would not think about Latinos as a voting bloc. Latinos are an incredibly diverse community of people. I mean, we have Latinos who come from, you know, dozens of countries all over the world, different nationalities, different backgrounds, different histories, different immigration patterns, different immigration eras. And it can be a little confusing because it makes it harder to understand voting patterns within this very diverse group of people.
At the same time, the sheer size of the Latino community hasn't always translated into political power or representation.
We're very often not made to feel that we fit in. We're not in the school books, we're not in the textbooks. So this is really wonderful representation because...
Marie Arana is an award-winning author, journalist, and the former inaugural literary director at the Library of Congress, where we met. In her new book, Latino Land, Arana has taken on an admittedly difficult task by attempting to cover 500 years of Latino history in the United States.
Even though we have a great number, millions of eligible voters, we do not necessarily register to vote. And that's a problem for us. That's a real problem for us.
What does that stem from? Where does that come from?
Well, it comes from the fact that your prejudice, discrimination, a sense of not fitting in, there's this sense that, you know, why should we vote? We're not paid attention to anyway.
But now she believes that during this polarized period in our country, a diverse Latino community can help moderate American politics.
There is within the Latino population itself, we represent diversity within us because of the many races that we are. And I think in general, we are a moderating force.
Back in Tucson, Professor Klar says her research bears that out, showing a key difference between most Latinos and non-Latino white voters.
We find that for Latinos in Arizona and elsewhere across the country, they express much warmer feelings toward the other party. Their feelings toward their own party are about the same, so it's not like they're cheerleaders for every party, but there's much less affective polarization or personal dislike between parties within the Latino community.
And what's this over here on the left, upper left?
Oh,
2020?
Yeah.
That's true for Raph Polo. He says he hasn't let politics get in the way of his relationships.
Can you talk to your friends who are Democrats about issues?
Yeah. We're all educated. We're experienced, successful people that don't need to use short words to express themselves.
You haven't built a wall between your house and
a
neighbor who's a Democrat or a liberal or something.
No. God, we got a bunch of liberals right down the street.
But Sylvia Gonzalez-Anders prefers to steer clear of politics with her Republican neighbors. She told us she has family members who support former President Trump, and that she struggles with the fact that other Latinos have a more negative view than she has toward new immigrants.
Well, I could get really dark about that. I could really think, well, if you're willing to turn against your own people and pull up the ladder behind you, that means that you have the same traits as you know, somebody that just wants to get ahead at any cost. This is a lack of empathy, a lack of I got mine and you don't. I don't care if you get yours.
It's anyone's guess how this will break in such a hard-fought election year. But what's clear is that both campaigns will be making their case to the 36.2 million eligible Latino voters. For the PBS NewsHour, I'm Judy Woodruff in Tucson, Arizona.